Yeah, people like. It used to
just
be that,
why
like,
we're gonna ride the great experiment with our man Trump leading the Oval.
Like, so
I'm not gonna use the president's plan. I'm gonna use my own.
Last night, Hillary Trump Clinton won. Was on the Today or on the Tonight Show, and she made the comment. Like,
was that any good?
Her being on the Tonight Show.
No, I mean, like, was it substantive at all? Or,
well, I thought it was interesting because. There must be something where they're like, she needs to be more relatable, you know, or people need to like her more. Mm-hmm. So let's put her on the Tonight Show and have her laughing and having fun. Like, there was one point, like they had it where he was playing Donald Trump and she was talking to him on the phone and he was asking her questions. And then he's like, write this down. And she goes, 1 minute, let me grab a pen. And she grabs a glass of wine and, like, starts drinking out of it. And she's like, there, got it. You know what I mean? Doesn't, like, write down what he said. I'm like, that was really funny. And she made a comment about, like, what happens, you know, when they have President Trump and then someone's in the Kremlin and they're like, did you hear what President Trump said today? You know, that's going to be, like, a thing. That other countries are going to be like, like, I don't understand where he thinks, like, oh, well, I'm just going to tell them. Like, I'm just going to tell them this is the way it's going to be, and then that's the way it's going to be. And if you ever notice, he doesn't put any, like, examples into anything. So it just is, I've done it before, and I'm going to do it again. And if I tell them this, it's just that's the way it's going to be. It's going to happen. And it's like, no, well, you didn't explain anything. You didn't. Everyone's like, "Yay, yay! Life's gonna be great."
Yep. I'm telling you.
I just that. Like, have you ever seen the movie Idiocracy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the guy that wrote King of the Hill.
Yeah,
wrote
it. Mike Judge.
Mike Judge. Yeah.
I think our life just keeps becoming more and more like Idiocracy. And just to think of how crazy things are right now, where, okay, so, like, some of the number one TV shows on television are just us watching other people live their lives. That is something. And then they're like, hey, you know who would make a great president? The host of this game show. Let's have him be the president. And so,
one of my friends had on, actually, it's on his Facebook wall, I think. This was funny. He made a comment about Idiocracy in the presidential. Yeah, here we go. Let's see if he's got it still. It was an animation of whatever. I can't remember what his name was in that movie.
Oh, was it Terry Crews?
No.
Like the president?
No. Oh, the guy in the actual movie? No, it was like, he had a weird name. Where is that? I'm not seeing it now. Might have been just something that he, I don't know if he shared it, it should be on here. Yeah, I didn't watch that though with her on Fallon. I was kind of curious to see how that would go. I feel like Colbert's setting the political.
Oh, Colbert's killing it.
His interviews are pretty good.
Did you see him with Justice Breyer the other night?
Yeah.
I never thought I'd see a Supreme Court justice on a late night show.
I know,
and I never knew I wanted to see that.
Yeah, he was pretty funny. Admit it, you people want to see how far this goes, don't you? From the Onion. I can't find that. I don't see it. It must have been something that he shared or something, wrote, or he commented on it. But it was anyways, it was that guy, the president from that movie, as he's coming to do the State of the Union. I don't remember what his name was, but he was like, I just realized that Trump is whatever.
Those, like, I think it'll get to the point where it's like Coca-Cola presents the war in Iran.
What is this guy's name?
Did you see how they had the big Air Force One behind all the candidates?
I did.
And somebody had commented, CNN has finally found the plane. Back in like the 1930s or 1940s.
President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho. That's what it was. I just realized Trump is U.S. President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Herbert Camacho. Yeah, what, Terry Crews.
But why could you, why would it not be like Doritos presents the State of the Union address? Like, so
yeah, they wouldn't sponsor that because nobody watches.
But if Donald Trump is the president, why would people not watch that? You know what I mean?
That's the thing. I mean, all of these little presidential addresses and special breaking news. But I mean, they're going to get way more attention.
What happens? Okay, so say they run this experiment and Donald Trump, because whatever it is, no matter how much you like or dislike Donald Trump, if he was to get anywhere remotely elected, it's an experiment. It is not a, you know, it's all, like, it's almost like people mocking the system. So let's say that they run this experiment. What happens going into 2020? You know, he has to run for re-election. But like, what if it's horrible? You know, what if like he doesn't, and I like not even necessarily his own policies, but what if he destroys relations with other countries?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What if like his demeanor, because just he has a very thick skin or a thin skin. He has very thin skin. And, like, I can see him being like, oh, the Chinese are stupid. They did, you know, where it's like, oh, hey, you can't say those kind of things when you're the leader of a country. And then, what does America look like in 2020? That's what I don't think people are seeing is, and the thing is, like, I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican, like, I cannot believe that people think that this is a good idea. I think that people like the idea of having a cowboy who's going to go in there and shake things up. But at the same time, I read a very good book on the Obama administration by Chuck Todd, and it's not necessarily that it's not like a pro Obama book, but it's not an anti Obama book. It's just the facts of the administration. And when Obama came into like office, he came in as, I'm a Washington outsider. I'm not part of the system, so we can get more done. The problem is, the way that Washington works, you have to be part of the system to get things done. And when...
That's why, like, term limits are really a pretty poor idea. Because we would be refreshing the pool with people that really don't know how... I mean, it's a game.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how the game's played.
Right.
You got to have the elder statesman around
that knows, well, and that's that, knows the rules. The biggest turnover in Washington is those first 2 years as congressman. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That they get churned out. And there's people that... So if you see what's happened is you have these Tea Party people that have come in, and then they say, well, I think things are going to be like, they need to be this way, and if it's not going to be that way, then we're shutting down the government. We're not going to vote these things down.
Right.
And it's like, well, now we haven't accomplished anything. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't accomplished anything, where it used to be that, and the problem is both sides say, well, the other guys aren't working with us. You know what I mean? And both sides are the problem.
Yeah.
And you have, but when they're like, well, they're not working with us. It's like, okay, so you came in with conservative ideas. You know the person who has to sign off on them does not have those ideas. So why would you send that to him? Why would you... Like, if I knew that you did not like Chinese food, I would never be like, hey, Ryan, let's go eat Chinese. And when you say, hey, I don't want Chinese, well, I'm not going to go out for dinner with you at all. You know? Like, that doesn't... The world doesn't work that way. And so then, like, if we were to get interviewed afterwards and we're like, well, Ryan doesn't like Chinese, so I'm not going to go out for dinner with him. And you're like, well, I don't eat Chinese, so I'm not going to go out. Well, you know what I mean? We could go have Italian food. You know what I mean? Like, we could have something else. And we could find something that we both agree on. And, you know what I mean? We could, but nobody, they see any type of agreement as defeat.
Weakness, yeah.
And that's the, That's the issue. So then, when you have people that are already polarizing in the government, and now you're looking at bringing someone who's even more polarizing in, and someone who's like, no, things are only going to be my way, or that you're just looking for a recipe for disaster.
That's what I liked about on that interview the other night with Justice Breyer, where he said, he's like, you guys get along. You know,
yeah.
Why is it that the other branches can't get along when you guys know that you don't agree on things?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was pretty interesting. Interesting question. It's a relevant question. But they're also all there. Like, you can't wait the other guy out,
right?
Because they're there until they die, or
right.
You know,
well, you have like Clarence Thomas, who's only ever said like 4 or 5 words, like officially. Mm-hmm. He'll write like a dissent. Or, you know, or like a, but in terms of actually speaking on the record during something, he's only said a couple words ever, which is crazy to me. Like, if you're not having your opinion, you know, sought out, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's this. I think that, like, the Supreme Court is a much better system where you have people who their only job is to look at the current law and be like, oh, can we do this based on how things are? Yeah, we can. Yeah, let's keep doing this. You know, like, and, but yet what's funny is that when something goes in front of the Supreme Court, and if they don't, and it happens on them, it happens on both sides. If that side does not like the outcome, well, the court is legislating from the bench and they can't make laws. Like, they didn't make a law. They just negated the case that was, And the outcome of that may be that,
or negate a law. They negate laws. They don't create laws. I mean, that's the thing. We don't have, you know, our constitution or whatever, or our laws in general. It's not like you don't write a law to say things you can do.
Right.
You do write a law to say things you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't. You know, it's not like they said that. They don't say that everything needs to be like this now. They say, hey, that law that you had that was outlawing that is not constitutional. So it's not like they made the other thing. I mean, they did make it right, but it's not like they're not making, they're just taking it off the list of things you can't do. Mm-hmm. Stupid, but.
Well, you know, these guys, they get up and they're like, I'm going to get in there, I'm going to defend the Constitution. And they're like, how are you going to do that? I'm going to add 11 amendments to lay out that the Constitution has to say what I think it says. And that's the thing, like, we get so bogged down in everyone else's interpretation of things.
Well, I mean, the Constitution was kind of intentionally written to be pretty broad.
Yeah.
For that reason.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Have you ever seen that thing online where
it's like with the whole Mike Huckabee. I mean, he's been going around on TV saying, well, can you point to me the statute that gives her the authority? It's like, yeah, it's like the 14th Amendment.
Right.
You know? That's what they said was that law was about, you know, in conflict with. It's like,
but then what happens then is they're like, okay, well, then we need to revoke the 14th Amendment. And it's like, that solves nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's one of the things Ian and I always talked about is what the definition of truth is.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that's been passed around online lately is like a statue, and it just looks like nothing. Mm-hmm. And then when you shine a light on it from one angle, the shadow says yes. You know, so with the way the light passes through, it forms out the word yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you shine a light on it from the other angle, the shadow falls out as no. But it's only one object. So somewhere carved in the object, it looks like yes and no. But if you just look at it with your bare eye, you can't see that.
Right.
And where it says, you know, this is one object, but it's seen in two different ways.
Right.
So what is truth? What is truth? Because there's people that'll say, well, there's only one truth, and if it's not that, then it's wrong. Yet, now you and I might have different reviews on, say, like religion, where you might say, well, I see things this way. And for you, that's true. You know what I mean? I might be like, oh, well, I see things completely differently. And for me, that is true. So is one of us wrong? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
I think that I get what you're saying. That's a postmodern thought, that there are no truths, that there are just perception of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, just use the word true for some things, but there are truths. There are absolutes.
Right.
Can't kill somebody. I don't care if you feel like, you know, in your world, it's okay to kill people.
Right.
So there are moral absolutes. There probably aren't as many of them as we think there are, though.
Well, so now, okay, so say you live life with, like, following a religion, and to you, that makes your life better, you mm-hmm. know what I mean? And it makes you happy, and now, in your mind, you'd say, well, if you don't believe in religion, then you're false. Now, with me, where if I don't follow religion, you know what I mean, but I'm still happy and things are going well, if I was to say, well, if you follow religion, that's wrong. So I see it as, in both of your worlds, that is a truth for you. Whatever that your religion that you're following makes you happy, and you see value in that, and maybe someday you won't. And you know what I mean? And maybe someday, like, my view would change. That's why I don't get where people will be like, well, Hillary Clinton was Republican in college. And I'm like, yeah, and last week you ate the low-fat product, and this week you don't. Like, you changed your mind. And I think that there is more value in someone changing their mind than there is on someone who's like, no, this is, like, the only way. Where you have someone who's like, oh, you know what? I've seen, like, if you were ever to have a debate, that's what, like, most times debates end with, like, people being, oh, well, we're just mad at each other. Well, if you were to have a debate and you're like, oh, I get where you're coming from with that. You know what I mean? I see what you're saying now. And where I think that there's more value in that sometimes. Like these debates last night. At no point was one of those guys going to be like, oh, yeah, what you're saying is, you know, what you're saying is right.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a rigged situation, though, because those debates really aren't for them. They're for the
right.
voter. But I see what you're saying. But I would also say that for someone that is the president, we don't want them to be on low-fat diet 1 week and fat diet the next.
Right.
We want them to be consistent because we're going to live with them for the next 4 years. Because we don't have the opportunity to recall them.
But do you think if... Okay, so say... Okay, so it's obvious now that
now,
there was... That there, there
so
was,
what's the statute of limitations on I can change my mind? I
well,
mean, that becomes the question.
So now there was things leading into... Right away after 9/11, everyone was like, oh, we need to go to war.
Right.
And I think that everybody kind of saw the point in that. We're now looking back and like, eh, maybe that wasn't the best idea. So
I don't know that you would... Find in, like, I mean, Iraq, nobody, I don't think anybody would agree that that's a good idea now with hindsight.
Right. Well, like, I mean, but
and
like,
even Afghanistan, it's like, well, we dismantled a system that's coming back.
But do you see if, like, going into that war, President Bush would have been like, hey guys, wait a minute, they're making a good point. You know what I mean? Like, if the because there was opposition at the time, and they were
was
like,
there?
Hey, we're.
Yeah, wasn't much.
But
no,
but, like,
there really wasn't much opposition.
But I think there was.
Hillary voted for the
enough.
War.
But there was people that didn't. It didn't pass Congress. Because it was not a congressionally approved war.
Yeah, but I don't think that time there was not. You didn't hear very many voices saying this is a bad idea.
But do you think like
and it would have been almost silly for them to say that because we had intelligence. Turns out it was lousy, but you don't take the fact and say, ah, not going to believe that fact.
Well, so how about this? So now you have all these politicians that are saying that it was well established now that that was lousy intelligence.
Yeah.
And that there were no weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
Those politicians that started all this, they still don't admit that.
Some don't. Some do.
But you know what I mean? Like, so...
Colin Powell had a change of heart.
Well, yeah.
Hillary Clinton's had a change of heart.
But now, like, where Dick Cheney is still, like...
Dick Cheney's crazy.
This is... Yeah, where he's like, we would have found it eventually. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, they kind of have that...
There's going to be a margin.
But don't you think, like, with something like that...
But he was a neocon before the war. So, getting back to the previous point about changing his ideals...
But,
I mean, that, there
but
you
do
go.
Think that if he would have come out now and been like, hey, we really messed up here. Would you respect that more than right now where he's like, I'm digging my heels in. We should have done this.
I'm not sure. I mean, I think what you're asking actually is a psychological question, because I think in his mind, I don't think he'd look, he was reading the, I mean, he's reading the facts and he has a completely different interpretation, even though the facts really don't support his interpretation.
But so would that go to the yes and no, where to us there's a universal truth and to him there's a universal truth, but it's this, but they're opposite of each other.
Right. For him, yeah, I think that's true right now. Yeah. That's why I said I think there are probably not as many universal truths as what we think there are.
Right.
But there are some. Gravity is a constant.
Yeah.
We couldn't do science if we didn't have universal truths.
Well, there are some people that don't think that science is a real thing.
That's true. That's true. But I'm just saying, postmodernism is fine, but it is also dangerous. There's a lot in the scientific community that would say, that is a dangerous thought experiment. Well, because underpinnings of lots of stuff depend on some axioms that you have to have. And if everything is questionable,
mm-hmm.
if there is nothing that is sacred, then the whole system falls apart. And it doesn't make sense.
Right. Well, have you ever met somebody that doesn't like the Godfather?
But, like I said, what those axioms are is, you know, there's a lot of people who would say, hey, no, this is an axiom. Well, it's probably not an axiom. But there are other axioms that, I said we can't kill people, right? And so I would say that because of my religious background,
mm-hmm.
but an evolutionary psychologist would agree with me from a different perspective.
Right.
So where perspectives converge, you know, it's like, well, that's an axiom of our existence. And I've had that conversation with evolutionary psychologists. Faux show.
Oh, that's the kind of stuff I can talk about all day.
Two Christians in a department of 60 psychologists. So,
have you ever heard the joke where there's, and I don't know why I just thought of this, but there's a guy, the guy gets deserted on an island, and like 10 years later they find him. And he's built different buildings on the island, you know, or like different shelters on the island, and they're walking through, around the island, and he's like, well, this is my home. You know, this is like the home that I built, and this is, you know, this building that I built, and they're like, what is this? And he goes, oh, well, that's the church I go to, and I go there every Sunday.
Yeah.
And then, they walk down a little ways, they found a building that hasn't been kept up, and they're like, what's this building? He goes, that's the church I first started going to. I left when I stopped liking what they were teaching.
Right.
Like, I went into, I had someone tell me one time, they're like, we were at a non-denominational church, you know, just what I guess what they call it, like Church of Christ. And somebody, one of the ministers was like, I would never say that like a Lutheran or a Catholic was going to hell. I don't think anybody in here believes that. And I wanted to be like, then what's the point? Why are we not all together in the same building? Like, if that's the case.
Well, again, I think that goes back to the axiomatic idea. For Christians, there are a couple of universal truths. If you're going to be a Christian, God has to be God.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus has to be his son. Where the reason for denominations is they've held to things that are that they think were axiomatic that turns out maybe weren't. Or, some of those traditions are quite old and there's been new scholarship or whatever that's maybe said, hey, that's actually probably a bad idea based on what you're basing that idea on is probably not what you thought you were basing it on or something like that. And so I think today, though, it's more of a what's the style you're most comfortable with. And, you know, because I think that's true. Don't get me wrong, there are definitely churches that are like, those people are not going to be in heaven.
Right.
But there are more churches, I think, that are like, we believe, we all have kind of core, there's four or five things
mm-hmm.
that if you're going to be a Christian, you kind of got to believe these.
Yeah.
And if you're going to call yourself a church, Christian church, you got to believe this. So that the fringes of
what we thought maybe that there was all of these different, these are the truths or whatever. It's like, there's...
Well, see, I think what's funny now is
are based on our interpretation or in our culture or whatever.
I think what gets thrown around a lot now is when people say, well, that person's not a real Christian. Well, they're not a real Christian. Right. They still go to church every morning or every Sunday. They tithe. They believe in God and all that stuff. They're not a real Christian because their beliefs don't fit in, like, you know, the cookie cutter what mine exactly do. I think that fits into yours where it's like, they might have those four things. That fifth thing.
Not a real Christian.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, then what are they? What would you describe? What is it? You know what I mean? Like, if...
Yeah.
So...
Yeah. Man. Religion's a rough one. It cuts to the core of... I mean, what's really sad, though, is most people that are call themselves Christian or... professing, you know, they don't even know really what they, like... what their faith says about X topic or whatever. In the same way, they don't know what their politicians actually believe when they vote for them.
Exactly. Well, look at, like, you have, like, do you know who Rob Bell is? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mars Hill.
Mars Hill.
And, yeah.
I
was Rob in Michigan Bell. When all that went down.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Very, very gifted speaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming from someone who I spent time in the youth ministry, I really like Rob Bell, and he had a lot of good programs. Well, then he wrote some books, and I read the books, very good books, where I'm like, well, these things lay out things in a lot different view than I ever would have thought. Everything's backed up with scripture and everything. And then he's like, hey, so I think part of it was maybe there's not that big of a scriptural backing for hell, and if there's at least not a clear pathway listed in the scripture as to who goes to heaven, who goes to hell. Well, then it becomes then everybody on the news is like, oh, Rob Bell says there's no hell.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, well, did you read the book? Like, you didn't read the book because. And I saw an argument between Billy Graham's son and Bill O'Reilly, and they both argued for 10 minutes. And at the end, they both said that they hadn't read the book. So they had no idea what they were arguing about. But then he had another book come out, and people argued about that. And then I've heard people say, like, well, Rob Bell isn't, like, a real Christian. And I'm like, well, he's reaching out to a different, maybe, like, a different demographic. You know, maybe he's getting a different crowd in the door, reaching out to people who never would have had those thoughts before. Maybe he's just doing something different than you would with a different set of beliefs. And it's like, you can't tell me that, like, if there's 50 people in a room, all 50 of them, when they only have, like, one thing, if they have that one thing in common, not all of them think that one thing exactly the same. And then now to say, like, well, he's not even a real Christian, where I'm like, oh, he's just different. He has a different thought than you did. And I was at a thing one time with some other youth ministers, and they were talking about him, and I had said, did anybody actually read the book? Well, I'm not going to read that. I don't want to give him support and do this. I'm like, well, you don't even know what you're arguing about.
Yeah.
That's a good point as to how many people, when they support a politician, actually know what that politician is actually saying.
Right.
And I've actually gotten into, like, debates with people where I'm like, well, this person said this and they want to do this. Well, no, they didn't. I'm like, no, they clearly did. Like, they clearly did.
Yeah.
So.
Bell, I'm trying to think what he's up to now, because he got ousted from his church.
He didn't. Well, he left.
I know people that went to that church. They ousted him. He had a timeline.
He is in California now, and he does podcasts, and he still writes books, and he has a TV show on the O Network. I think he's still the TV show.
Oh, we'll see. There you go. O Network, that's Oprah's, right?
Yeah.
So he is of the devil. Shaking hands with O.
But do you think, like, so say now Rob Bell, if he's still doing, like, a Christian, he's still saying, like, I am a Christian, I have a Christian message, and now he has an avenue on, like, a TV network that originally didn't have an avenue on it. You know what I mean? So say there's people that come to, like, God through that show. Is he, you know what I mean? Like, is that any of a less of a statement?
No, than, there's plenty of people who I would, I mean, let's think about this for a second. Is it, because I think it's possible to be a good evangelist for a message that you don't believe. Actors do it all the time. So does that mean that they're Christians if they say something but they really don't believe it? And I don't think that's true. I mean, I think if you don't believe it, then that.
But the thing is, he does believe it.
Well, he says he does. Don't know. It's impossible to know what he believes.
But
I guess what I'm saying is the fruit of his labor does not measure his belief.
But wouldn't that be the same for like the minister at like the every church in the Quad Cities?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's true.
So is that any? But is that person?
I think it's totally. So I mean, that's why that's why it's to our detriment to, hold high a guy in front of a church. That always lead in failure.
Do you think that the person in the audience is having any that their like conversion to Christianity or their relationship with God is any dependent on that person?
Probably, sometimes. I mean, I'm sure it is. A charismatic individual.
Mm-hmm. But is that any less of a... So now that person, say that person has a relationship with God, and they're a Christian.
Do they?
But let's say they do. So let's say a person has a relationship with God, and they consider themselves a Christian.
Okay.
Is their faith any less than somebody else's faith by someone who's not as controversial of a... back in, 2008. Back in 2008, you have this Reverend Wright, who this is going to be the oddest podcast we've ever had. You have Reverend Wright, and everyone's like, well, he sat there and listened to these things. So even if he doesn't believe them, he sat there and listened to them. And so right. He's as much at fault for doing that. I've been in churches where I've listened to the preacher say things that I definitely don't agree with. And if we were to have that conversation, I would say, hey, I don't agree with that. You know what I mean? Like, and we would have a conversation about it. But if you were to have a recording of him saying that and me in the audience sitting there, then anybody could say, like, well, he just sat there. You know, he just sat there while this happened. And it's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean that I condone that or agree with it. I've witnessed lots of things I don't agree with.
Nope, so, I agree with that.
So I don't know. That's where I get
so
all...
So what was your original question?
Yeah, I don't remember. But that's where I get all worked up is like when people... Like, I did not like when people said, well, Rob Bell's not a real Christian. Well, you don't know Rob Bell.
You're not in his
mind. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, one of the things...
I mean, that's... there's a lot of, I think, the argument could be made. There's been a lot of well-intentioned, theologians or whatever who didn't have... accurate theology at the end of the day we have the Bible, and like I said there are some areas I think that we can all agree there's less room for debate.
Mm-hmm.
But there are a lot of areas that we can debate.
Yeah.
And things change over time, so I forget where I was going with this now, but I don't remember what I was going with. I forgot.
You know, one of the things this just kind of vaguely remind me of this subject, but I really liked it, was after Robin Williams passed away,
mm-hmm.
Everybody said, "Well, he always seems so happy."
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like he had committed suicide. Everyone's right. Like, "Oh, well, he always seems so happy." And somebody I was listening to my podcast said, "You don't know what he thinks about in the shower."
Right.
You know what I mean? Like. And that's where to like cast an image onto somebody, you know what I mean? Where it's like you don't know what that person is actually like, you know what yeah. I mean? But then to say like, well, that person's not really, they don't really believe this, or they don't really, or it's like, no, they may, you know what I mean? They may like, mm-hmm. And that's some of the stuff that gets said in like any presidential debate. I don't care what side the person's on. I'm like, oh, I hope they don't actually believe that. Like, I hope that they're just saying that to get a rise out of people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true, though, because they have to appeal to their party, their base. And a lot of times they abandon, he's a flip-flopper when it comes to the general, because he's had to
he didn't, you know, he didn't really believe that to begin with, or maybe he doesn't believe what he's saying now,
right?
For the general, but I don't know. You got to say, for a politician, they have to say what the crowd wants to hear to some degree, or else they will fall flat. I don't know.
I know, it's an interesting world, and it's only going to get more interesting.
With the Trump, President Trump.
Have you seen where people are like, this will be what the White House looks like during the Trump administration, and it's Biff Towers from Back to the Future 2.
Gold-plated front door.
Oh, man.
Trump won. It's come over. He's a character. I don't know. I'm trying to think if we've had, I was thinking back for previous presidents, have we had anybody that's been, if we did, they didn't have the advantage of mass communication.
So somebody that's been as like brash and,
yeah.
But I think,
if you look
anybody before like Eisenhower, mm-hmm. anybody before like the invention of the radio,
mm-hmm.
we don't really know all too well. I bet that like Andrew Jackson was a very brash person,
right?
You know what I mean? Where like Teddy Roosevelt seems like he could have been like a real like Kickstarter.
Yeah, he would.
You know what I mean? Like, but we don't have some of these guys. We don't have photographs of them. Some of the guys, we don't have recordings of these guys.
Right.
And politics used to be a very like nasty business game. We think it's nasty now. Like Aaron Burr murdered Alexander Hamilton with a pistol.
Roosevelt was shot during the speech. Kept on going. That takes some cojones.
Well, and there was I can't think of who it was, but there was somebody who right outside of the Capitol building, they were two congressmen shooting at each other behind a tree.
Right.
Like, and...
I guess I was thinking more along the lines of like a modern... I mean, there's not really been a modern media magnet type. I mean, the only person who had something to do with entertainment would have been like a Warren G. Harding or something.
Well, Reagan, like
newspapers. Reagan.
Reagan
that's true.
Was an actor.
That's true. Reagan.
He was on. Was he on Rawhide? He wasn't a good actor.
No, he wasn't.
He was the president of
the Actors Guild, Screen Actors
Guild, yeah. And that's how he became governor of.
Yeah, that's true.
California, where, you know, but someone like Tom Hanks could have the same. Tom Hanks was the president of, if he wasn't Screen Actors Guild, he was the president of the Academy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where he was president of something, where he could have had that same. I think if you were to run against Tom Hanks, who wouldn't vote for Tom Hanks?
Did I read correctly that Schwarzenegger's taking over The Apprentice?
He's taking over The Apprentice.
He's going backwards. He's going backwards, right?
Yeah, he was governor. He's Arnold Schwarzenegger. Arnold Schwarzenegger, the star of Terminator and Kindergarten Cop, was the governor of California.
I know. He's moving.
No. Oh, the best comment on the whole thing though was that Donald Trump's job is now being taken by an immigrant.
That's true. Oh man. Schwarzenegger.
Now, that's a guy, except for, like, now. So, like, anything before, like, the year, like, 2000. If Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a movie, I'll watch that movie.
Isn't there, like, a new Terminator being built
there,
or done?
There was one
or?
That happened this past summer.
Was it this summer?
Yeah.
That he was in?
What happened there, and
I didn't even see it.
The way that they described it was that, like, even though the Terminator is a robot, the skin part still ages. So that's why he looks old.
That's convenient.
Yeah, right? I was like, so I haven't seen the Christian Bale Terminator. I haven't seen the TV show that they made.
Right.
But I've seen like the first three Terminators. And so this one's coming out. And James Cameron was in an interview and he said, this one to me is the third Terminator. Like, first and two, or one and two happen that are James Cameron's. And so James Cameron is like, to me, this is the third one. So I was like, I'm going to go see this movie. But what I'm going to do is, first Terminator is on Netflix. Second Terminator I have on DVD because it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
The second one?
And,
the second
yeah,
one
the second
is really
one
good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I'm going to watch both of them and then go see the third one. I watched the first one. I watched the second one. That's like 5 hours of my day now that has been taken up. Right. And then I was good. I didn't. I was terminated out. I didn't need to go see. I haven't seen the third one yet. Or the new one.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new one. The third one was kind of... I'm trying to remember how that went. It was goofy, right? Because it was like they worked all the... Spoiler, right? They figured out at the end that there was nothing they could do to stop.
They can't stop the machines from rising.
Yeah.
So in the second one, they did. They stopped the machines from rising. Right. They destroyed all the evidence that the machines... They destroyed all the CPUs or whatever.
Right.
And then... And this... The... But then there was an original ending. Because the whole time in the second one, they keep flashing over to Sarah Connor being an old person sitting in a park with a nuclear bomb going off.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was going to be a scene at the end where she's an old person sitting in a park and that bomb doesn't go off. Like, you know, where she's an old person in a park. They didn't put that ending in there. So, but that was like, that was in the early 90s that movie came out. So then in the early 2000s, they made the Terminator 3. And it was a girl.
Girl robot, yeah.
She was trying to kill John Connor.
She was on a TV show or something, wasn't she? That actress?
I don't know. She was at a Comic Con I went to one time, though, so I saw her in real life.
Hmm.
But I think the Arnold Schwarzenegger comes back, and it wasn't just that he was trying to protect John Connor and his girlfriend at the time from this person, but he was trying to get them into like a room so when the nukes go off they would be protected.
Yeah huh.
And I remember, I think, I can't remember the name of the first name of the girl, but I remember her last name was Brewster, the wife, or like the girlfriend. And having Arnold Schwarzenegger say Brewster all the time was hilarious.
Oh man.
This has been a good summer for movies, though. In terms of, like, being a geek. Because, like, there was Jurassic Park.
I know.
There's a Terminator. There was a Mad Max.
Yeah, Mad Max.
There's going to be a Star Wars. And there was an Avenger movie. And there was...
Marvel, Ant-Man. Yeah. I never saw that. Was that
Ant-Man? Ant-Man was good.
It was good. I have it pre-ordered. I have... I think it comes out in October. Have Ant-Man coming?
Well, the Avengers comes out in October.
I have the Age of Ultron coming, and I have... So Jurassic World comes out in October as well.
Ah.
So I have all three of those pre-ordered.
So, like, you know, all these movies are coming out, like, the day after I leave.
The second is the first one that comes out. There's one that comes out on the second, one that comes out on the 20th, and I forget where the other one comes out.
The second is the Avengers.
Yeah, second's the Avengers, yeah. I think the 20th is Jurassic World and Ant-Man somewhere in between.
So, Ant-Man was good.
It was
good. Ant-Man was good. And I mean, this isn't a spoiler because it's in the trailer. But, you know, like, all the other ones, the climactic scene, at, you know, there is a big battle across the cityscape, and they destroy a city in every Marvel movie.
Right.
And then they don't go back to that city.
Right.
Like,
right. But, show the destruction.
Though the Daredevil show on Netflix is all about coming back from the attack in New York. And the reason the villain got into power was, like, through... helping out the city after that attack.
Gotcha.
So that was kind of cool. But Ant-Man, the whole culmination fight takes place in a little girl's bedroom.
Nice.
And I just thought that was cool. Ant-Man was a much more compressed story. It wasn't like a big sprawling story, but it was very much a Marvel movie, and it fit very nicely into that world.
I saw his trailer on Conan. Where he does the... I forget what movie that's even from. But every time he shows the same movie...
Oh, yeah. What movie? Mac and Me.
Yeah, Mac and Me. That's yeah. Every time he's...
Every time movie. He's on Conan, he shows that clip.
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Did you see in Vanity Fair the other night, they had a... Or, like, maybe it's this coming week's issue. There was a picture of all the late night hosts all together in one room. Like they were all drinking, like Manhattans or something. You know what I mean? Just like had a glass of, and it was just a really cool picture of all the guys. Well, they never would have been able to do that before.
Right.
They never would have been able to get like Dave and Jay in a room together.
Well, there was a couple of videos that they put out, I want to say like in the last couple of weeks or so. Before Colbert started, I guess. And one of them was like giving Colbert advice, and they were all pitching him advice. You should YouTube that.
Yeah,
pretty good. And then the other one was... they were trading
text messages between each other. It was pretty funny, too.
Well, this picture was Trevor Noah and Larry Wilmore, and then Stephen Colbert and James Corden, and Jimmy Fallon and Seth Meyers, Conan, Bill Maher. It must have been John Oliver.
Oh, yeah, John Oliver was in the... He was in the ones, the...
I wish I had HBO just so I could watch John Oliver.
Well, a lot of times his highlights are on the next day.
Yeah. No, this has been like a golden age of late night.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on.
Well, just the, like, turnover in the last, like, 3 years.
Right.
That's because now... and Jimmy Kimmel was in that picture.
Yeah.
Because if you look at that picture... The veterans are Conan.
Conan
Jimmy
is
Kimmel.
The old man. I know. Yeah, that's crazy.
And Conan was like the wild card when he originally came out.
Yeah.
And I've said on the show before that the original Late Night with Conan O'Brien, the one that was on NBC after Jay Leno,
right,
was like my favorite show. Yeah. I loved that show.
Yeah, I used to watch
it. His branded humor, and now I don't watch Conan now. I don't have anything against Conan. You know what I mean? I'll watch them from time to time, but I'm not like an avid. Where like, I have a hard time going to bed if I haven't seen The Daily Show. You know, or at least The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. I don't know how Trevor Noah's going to do. Mm-hmm. I'm excited for him, but it's not Conan.
I don't watch that much TV. I watch clips of things the next day for a little bit before I start my day, but I don't really watch. What I do is I pick a show on Netflix, and I'll watch a couple episodes every night.
Mm-hmm.
Right now I'm in The Office.
Yeah. Have you seen The Office before?
Bits and pieces, never the entire start from beginning to end.
How far are you into it?
I want to say I'm like in season 5, maybe.
You should stop soon. Don't get them in the last couple seasons.
Really?
Save yourself.
Go south. Well, you know, it's funny. They have The Office, the UK version, on Netflix.
That is hilarious.
Really, it's funny.
It's only
because,
like 12 episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I started watching the first episode the other night, and it's like the exact...
It is the exact same.
Yeah, it's exact same, just different people.
If you watch The British Office, in 12 episodes, they capture everything that The American Office captured over 8 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And, I don't know, I really like the British version of The Office. But, So the other day Ian and I sent the things on The Office to each other quite often. He sends them to me more than I send them over to him. But I sent him a video the other day of they were doing CPR training.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that actual episode?
I have seen that one, yeah.
Where he cuts
him open with a knife.
Cuts off the face of the guy.
Yeah.
But my favorite part is when he goes, you need to do it to the tune of staying alive, like doing CPR. He goes... First, I was afraid. I was petrified.
Yeah, that is good. You know, I used to show clips when I used to teach in college. I taught human resource management, and so I would show clips from The Office periodically. I'd seen a little bits and pieces of the first couple seasons, and my favorite clip is the conflict resolution. Where she gets the poster with the kids playing jazz or whatever with the cats, and the Oscar hates that picture to his core, and so they try to come together. They bring out the book, and it's like, what are all the different possible scenarios for conflict resolution? And he's like, he could take this down, he could do it in there, and he's like, that's they're trying to get to win. And, you know, they got to a win-win, and he goes, and that's less than optimal. I think they finally got to, they were going to turn it into a t-shirt that Oscar was going to wear so he wouldn't have to see it. I was like, that is great. Win-win-win.
That first, like, first two or three seasons of that show were great. I think that show got hurt by the writer's strike.
Yeah.
After the writer's strike, I don't think it ever kept going the same. But also, at a certain point, all the Office writers went over to Park and Rec.
Right.
And and Shawnee, which that show is almost near perfect.
Pawnee.
Oh, yeah, Pawnee.
You're going to need to know that, because that's, in the geographic region that Pawnee is in the show, is very close.
Wait a minute, So Fictional Pawnee, Indiana could be in my district?
It'll be pretty close. I mean, if you think about it, they're big city. I mean, they go to Indianapolis and they go to Bloomington. Bloomington's a 45-minute drive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I mean, probably south of you, but in reality.
No, I am totally claiming that Pawnee, Indiana is in my...
I'm trying to remember if there's an... I mean, I've seen all of those episodes. I'm trying to remember if they ever showed a map with Pawnee on it. I'm not sure.
Because that could be perfect. That would be amazing. Why did it be like the home district?
Well, I always used to think of it as kind of like the French Lick area or something like that. Especially what the Eagletown or
Eagleton.
Eagleton, yeah. So I always used to think like French Lick was probably Eagleton because it's nice, you know. But then I think they referenced French Lick in one of their episodes. And I was like, it can't be that.
One of my favorite parts of that show is all the murals on the wall in the city hall where they have like some Indian being beat in front of like a band or something like that.
Right, yeah.
Oh, that's man. That show was great.
That city hall was actually in the Pasadena City Hall, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was the actual building was the Pasadena City Hall. Because there aren't any city halls Southern Indiana that are that big.
I should basically just watch that show like straight through before I go. I'll have time. That's only in a couple days I leave.
I've been thinking about revisiting that one because it's been a while. I'm kind of in withdrawals. It was just last year that their final season, yeah. I think.
Yeah, and that last season took place in like 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't last very long.
But
if you think about it, though.
They would show like two episodes a night or something.
Yeah. The cast on that show is really blown up.
Right.
And so,
they
really,
weren't going to keep them together.
They were getting in pretty high demand.
Right.
You know, Aziz Ansari could sell out Madison Square Garden.
Right.
Where
Chris Pratt's doing all kinds of stuff.
Oh,
now.
Yeah. Yeah. When Chris Pratt got off thin, I don't know if it was for Guardians or for Zero Dark Thirty. And the way they explained his character got thin was like he was over in London.
Right.
And that's why he was filming the movie, and that's why he was over. His character was over in London. But then he's just like, oh, yeah, I just stopped drinking beer. Like, and they're like, really? He just lost all that much weight.
Yeah.
Aziz Ansari was in a movie called. I don't know what it was called now. Where him and Jesse Eisenberg had to rob a bank. Have you seen this?
Mm-mm.
I'll have to figure it out and send it to you. That was one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. Or at least Aziz being in it was hilarious. And then, like, because they rob a bank, but he's being very polite about it.
Oh.
And, like, I think, like, the bank teller's name was Valerie. And he'd be like, open this up. He's like, thank you, Valerie.
I like his bit with his, what was it, his cousin? What's his cousin's name?
Harris,
yeah. Cousin Harris. That's good stuff.
I don't know what Aziz is. Aziz doesn't exist. I do exist.
Yeah.
There's that there's episode of Park and Rec where Ron Swanson pulls his tooth out at the table. And he's like, I always need to show my employees that I don't have pain. And it was just the tooth that he had lost anyway.
Right.
And Aziz is passed out on the floor. One of the funniest scenes in that entire TV show is when Chris Pratt is on WebMD and he goes, it says you have network connectivity problems.
Yep. I think probably one of my favorite episodes is when Tammy comes back in the picture and then they're gone, right, for however long, and then they finally get him back and whatever, and his hair's all cornrowed.
He's got like a chunk of mustache. And he goes, it was worn off.
He's got like a... they find him in a robe. He doesn't have any pants on. That's a funny episode.
He's one of my favorite characters in any type of medium.
Mm.
Like, and that's like one of the things that Ian and I had always talked about is, you know, there's some characters that just, you know, like outshine the rest of them. Like, our example is always George Costanza. You know, just in like terms of being like a great character.
Right.
You know, George Costanza. Ron Swanson.
Ron Swanson. He was totally... What else can... I'm not sure what I could see Nick Offerman doing like in another movie or something.
Well, if you ever see him in real life, he's pretty much Ron Swanson.
Yeah.
He like makes canoes.
The hair's different, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he looks Yeah.
And he has a special on Netflix called American Ham. Yeah. And if you love yourself, you should watch that. That should be your three episodes of The Office for tonight. Because that's just a really good one.
Yeah, I can't really see him doing something else. It's funny. It's a good character.
Yeah. So I'm leaving.
I know.
So, yeah, that's crazy.
Next week?
Soon. Next week's my last day, and then I leave.
Oh, yeah. When are you? The week after that?
Yeah, I don't know when I'm actually leaving yet, but I start in Indiana on the 1st.
Do you know where you're moving to?
No.
You don't know?
No idea. I have no idea.
The Y?
Yeah, I'm going to stay at the Y. I'm going to stay at their camp for a little while.
Oh, okay.
But I don't have like an apartment or anything.
Yeah.
And normal people, that would scare them. And to me, I'm just like, yeah, whatever.
You got a place to go.
Yeah. But
and they're done with camp, so.
Yeah.
Do they have camp at that camp? Because are you going to the one in...
I think they have Cub Scout
camp. Like a day camp there, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's not real big, I don't think. No, that one right there.
They have 7 properties.
Right, but the one that's like by... Because it's
Belzer.
On...
Belzer.
Yeah.
I don't think it's one of their biggest ones. It's not that big.
It's not real big. It's a nice in-town property because it's in the city. But it was part of Fort Benjamin Harrison, I think, back when it was used to be a military army installation.
Oh, okay.
That is no more.
Ah.
So they carved out part of it. Part of it's, I think, maybe State Park. And
well, I've been packing a lot of stuff. And I have, like, my stuff that's going to be in storage and I have, like, the stuff that I'll bring out there with me.
Right.
And then the stuff I brought out there with me, I threw a couple Stephen King novels because I'm like, I'm going to need something to read. And then I thought...
Yeah, you're not going to have... Are you going to have internet?
It's, like, spotty. So I was like, I'm going to be living on the set of a 1980s horror movie. And I threw 2 Stephen King novels in my bag. What am I thinking?
You're going to want to be out of there by winter. You know,
well, I only can be there for 60 days.
Oh, okay.
So, no, it's not like an indefinite stay. So I definitely had to be out there by, like, Thanksgiving. So, but yeah. So, yeah, I'm, like, gone, like, soon. So.
It's crazy.
Yeah, everything's going to change.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it'll be different. We're going to miss you.
Yeah. I think that people are kind of like waiting, and then like
they're going to see. They're going to wait and see.
The door shuts. Then like a banner hangs down. Two balloons. You guys are going to have like whistles, and you're like, think of all we're going to get done now that those guys are gone.
Nah, it's a wait and see approach. It's like, am I going to miss him? I don't know. They're going to evaluate it 30 days later. 30 days later, you'll get your card.
Oh yeah. 30 days later, it's like, hey, how's it going? Who is this? It's Andy. Andy who? We're going, thanks. So, well, your family lives like near out there.
Yeah, it's they live about 45 minutes north of the north side of Indy.
Yeah.
So from my folks to get to the south side, it's probably about an hour and a half, depending on traffic.
Well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is Thanksgiving.
Well, Thanksgiving's in Iowa.
Ah! Thanksgiving's in
Iowa. So, I mean, usually Christmas we're in Indiana.
Could you imagine, though, if I came back, so I was like, what did you do for Thanksgiving? Oh, I spent it with Ryan Yoder and his family. Oh, up in Kokomo? No, in Bender. Wait, is this something with Clinton?
Yeah, we usually do, Christina's usually on call around Thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. So but she gets a week off in December. So usually either the week of Christmas or the week of New Year's we're in.
Ah.
In Indiana. So, yeah.
But there's a race that you usually go out and run.
We do in September. We're not doing it this year because Christina's on call. Oh. But we have for like the last four or five years we've done it.
Yeah.
We've done and before that we did it as well. But we've been pretty consistent for like I think the last 4 years. But it's the ovarian cancer run. And it's actually, it actually might be this weekend.
You're like, what's going on right now?
I think it's this weekend.
And then you're like, oh, that means that Christina's on call this weekend. I better get my things figured out.
Well, she's not, but I'm at, I got to leave town.
Yeah.
It actually might be next weekend because I think she is on call and I think it's next weekend. So I'll be back from Ann Arbor, but
We normally go, but not this year. Hmm. We're not able to. It's a great run because it's downtown.
Yeah.
So you start at Market, at the city Old City Market, and then you run towards the Circle Center, and you go around by like Lucas Oil, and then you come up by like the Convention Center. So it's a nice downtown race.
Is it 5K?
There's a 1 mile. There's a 5K. I'm trying to think if there's a 10K option. I don't think there is, though. I think it's 5Ks.
Hmm. Yeah, we talked about.
I've always done the 5K, so I don't know.
Talk about doing. There's like a half marathon, the first weekend of November or something
in Indy.
Yeah,
or is it Indy or is really, it Carmel or is it? Because there's
I'm
a lot.
Sure.
There's a lot. Several of the cities around there have
big races.
Have marathons. Yeah.
Yeah. I need to get moving. I don't want to do a full marathon.
Yeah.
I just want to do a half marathon.
Well, whenever they have the full, they do a half with it usually.
I don't know what it is where I'm like, 13 miles, I can do that. 26, you know, as Chris Rock says, 26 miles is a long drive.
That's right. Well, there's one that they do around, I think it's in the spring. It's before the race, before the 500, where you can go, part of the track is the 500 track.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
They do it. It's
as though it's a 500 track a mile?
Yeah. Yeah. But they have, I think it starts in town more. I think it's maybe a half marathon. It starts in town, and then they go out there, and I think it ends maybe in the 500 circle. So
that could be cool.
Yeah. We've been talking about going to the 500, because I lived in Indiana. I never went.
Yeah.
Christina never went. Some of her family, her brothers go, and her dad has went several times. But I never went while I was there. And Reed, like last summer, I mean, I always watched the race.
Mm-hmm.
And or at least part of the race, and this last year we were watching it, and Reed goes, "Where's this at?" I said, "It's in Indiana." And he goes, "Oh, did you ever go?" And I said, "No." And he goes, "Why not?" I'm not sure why we never went, but we never. I mean, there's a lot of people there.
Yeah.
And he goes, "We should go. I want to go to this now." And so I was like, "Well, okay, maybe we'll go."
Isn't David Letterman there?
David Letterman, his mom lived in Greencastle. Okay, you're going by Greenwood.
Okay,
Greencastle is kind of northeast
of the Greenwoods.
Northeast of Greenwood, yeah.
Indiana is basically a medieval map. You cross through the Greenwoods,
you'll see Greencastle. It's all green.
Well, it's kind of like Bill Murray's grandma lives in like Davenport, and
right.
So you just have Bill Murray pops around from time to time.
But I think she still lives there, maybe in a convalescent home.
Oh.
But she definitely, when he first was on, she was living in Greencastle on her own or whatever. But he goes; he's a big 500 fan. He's always there because he's got team. He's got a couple cars. He's got a team. But I don't know. I never went, but I think it would be a fun thing to do. It's busy. It's crazy busy. Over the top. I mean, the racetrack itself holds, like, has seating for 250,000 people. And then there's, like, another, you know, like, 500,000 people or something that they say that's, like, infield and in the parking lots partying and that kind of stuff. So,
yeah.
I mean, you're talking, like, upwards of 750,000 people in a mile and a half radius. I don't, you know.
That's, like, too many people.
And it's a lot of people.
That's like way too many people.
Yeah. It's a lot of people. But I don't know.
It'll be fun.
Yeah. It's an adventure. It'll be an adventure.
Yeah.
They're probably all going to be pushing for Trump. Get set with that now.
Well, they went on like Kasich. Kasich is the governor of the state right next door.
Yeah. they would measure him against their current governor.
Pence,
yeah. Pence is he's more conservative than Kasich, for sure.
Hmm.
Pence is very conservative. A lot of people thought he would run for president. I think he even talked about it early on.
Hmm. Maybe he's biding his time.
Yeah, he might be biding his time. A lot of people wanted, like the establishment wanted Mitch Daniels to run. He's been floated the last couple of election cycles.
Now, he's senator from there, right?
No.
Or was he governor before Pence?
He was governor before Pence. He was a two-term governor.
Yeah.
Now he's the chancellor of Purdue University.
Ah.
Yeah.
So, wait. So, who was the guy? He was like a conservative Democrat from Indiana. Was it Evan Bayh?
Evan Bayh, yeah.
Yeah. Was he governor?
Yep. He was a,
okay.
He was a two-term governor back in the, I want to say early 90s, maybe.
Was, or was he the one that went, that was before, like, I just lost his name, the guy before Pence? Was he, like, late 90s to early 2000s?
He was, yeah, was Mitch Daniels.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mitch Daniels was like 2000s.
Okay.
Late 90s.
And then Evan Bayh was the one before him?
No. Late 90s was O'Bannon, who was Bayh's
vice governor.
Yeah. He's backup. And so, I mean, that kind of tells you the popularity of Bayh.
Right.
Because he was a two-term governor, and his number two was a two-term governor.
Yeah.
And then O'Bannon, he, I want to say, trying to think if he died pretty either he died in office or at the end of his term he died. He was an older guy. He was older than Bayh. Huh. And then after he was there, I don't think there was anybody between. I think it was Daniels after that, and he was a two-term governor, and now they have Pence, who's done one term, I think. Or maybe he just was reelected to a second. I'm not sure. But Bayh was a senator after he was a governor.
Okay, that's what I thought.
Yeah, he took over the seat for, so Dick Lugar was, since the 70s, he had been there a long time, and then he was outed with the Tea Party stuff.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't like, retire.
Yeah.
He was forced out. But Lugar, and then the other senator was Dan Coats. I remember Dan Coats retiring when I was younger, because then it was after Dan Coats, Evan Bayh got that seat, and he held on to it until he retired. And then he retired, Dan Coats took it back up. And so it was like, while Dan Coats wasn't a senator, he was a lobbyist for like the defense industry.
Oh.
Yeah. So he's pro defense spending now. But yeah, that's who's in now. I met Evan Bayh when I was in high school. I did a Hoosier Boys State. It's like put on by the Legion, American Legion.
Mm-hmm.
And they take like two or three, depends on the size of the high school, boys from all the high schools in Indiana, and they do like a summer camp, and they teach them, you know, state and federal government. Essentially, it's like government boot camp.
Oh, wow.
And so anyways, they try to have, you know, different people come and talk to the boys, and so I met Evan Bayh at that, because he came and talked to all of us.
That should be a requirement for the trail to the presidency, where they're like, were they at Boys State? Here's their evidence, they were a high school.
Do they have Iowa Boys State? I don't know if too many said.
I've heard of Girls State.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
I'm curious about that now. The American Legion is who puts it on. They're headquartered in Indianapolis.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Because Boys State's a pretty big. I mean, if you think about it, at least two boys from every high school.
Yeah,
it's a pretty big group.
Oh yeah,
and they do it at Indiana State at Terre Haute.
Oh, at Terre Haute.
Mm-hmm. Terre Haute could be Pawnee. Terre Haute could be Pawnee.
Terre Haute's like close to Illinois.
It is. Yeah. It's on what interstate is that? 70 maybe.
Well, the next NOAC will take place in Bloomington.
Oh, at
IU. The National or the Aero Conference.
At IU.
So,
that's a good campus. I like IU.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been there. I've been to two NOACs there. So.
They do. They go to Purdue too sometimes, right?
They've been there at least once, but it hasn't been since the early 90s.
Oh, okay.
So, Purdue have a nice campus?
I've never been to Purdue's campus.
Well, next time you're out.
When I go.
I have no idea where Purdue is.
It's in Lafayette. That's north.
Oh, well, next time you're out, we'll go up to Purdue.
I've never really been to Lafayette. I mean, like, I always drive by it because we always drive by it.
Ah.
But I never stopped. It's a pretty good sized town. I mean, it's like,
there's a lot of Davenport size going on
in Indiana. There are.
Because Notre Dame's in Indiana.
Yep, Notre Dame's a big one. And then IU and Purdue, Ball State.
That's
30,000 students. Indiana State is a big one.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have to think, not only Notre Dame, you have St. Mary's.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the IU system, so the Indiana University has joint programs with Purdue. So, like in Indianapolis, is IUPUI, Indiana University, Purdue University, Indianapolis.
Mm.
And that campus, I mean, they're commuter students mostly, but there's like 40,000 students that go there.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy. And IPFW, Indiana University, Purdue University, Fort Wayne, there's like 20-something thousand students that go there. And then they have IU South Bend, which, again, there's like another 20, 30,000 students that go there. So, like, the IU system is huge.
Mm.
It's like Wisconsin. Yeah, yeah. It's very much like Wisconsin system. And because there's IU East, which is in Richmond. I think it was either Venus or Serena, one of the two of them, just got a bachelor's in business out of IU East because they have a distance program in their business department. I saw that in the news the other day. Then there's an IU Northwest, which is up by Chicago. And then there's an IU, I want to say South or something, down by Evansville. But there's like 8 or 9 campuses.
So several of them are large
enough in their own right to be like a pretty big university.
But you come out, we'll go see Purdue, or we could go to the Creation Museum.
That would be a little bit of a drive, because that's Kentucky. That'd be a little bit of a drive.
Well, it's closer than here.
It is closer than here.
Yeah.
Probably from where you're at, I bet it'd be about a 2.5 hour drive.
That's
maybe.
Not bad.
Yeah, maybe that's 2.5, 3 hour drive. Yeah.
Huh.
Now, Christmas time or something, we'll go get a steak at St. Elmo's.
Deal.
We'll go downtown.
Well, brother, it's been fun.
We'll toast Nick Offerman at St. Elmo's.
I was thinking like earlier today, because I was coming over here and I'm like, I'm not really sure how I like met Ryan. And then I thought, no, we had a meeting at Starbucks and I was a half hour late.
That's right.
Because I had it written in my calendar wrong.
That's right. That was when the Starbucks was across the street on the
Yeah. They were talking about Tiger stuff and then I walk in and you're like, hey, and I'm like, you're like, did you write down the wrong time? I go, no, it's 10:30. You're like, you told me 10. And I'm like, I did write down the wrong time. So thank you for sticking around
at
that meeting. Because I think we're pretty good friends now. That probably never would have happened if you had been like, oh, I'm not going to stay for this meeting.
That's true. So how long is this thing?
Oh, but we're almost an hour and a half.
Holy smokes. And well, this is a Saturday.
I'll cut some out.
For my work, this is a Saturday.
Well, hey, so really quick, I do want to thank you for being the only listener, steady listener. That's have you ever listened to the one with the zoo?
I still haven't. I think I've listened to everything except for the ones you just did the other day.
Yeah,
that you just put up. I haven't listened to those, and I bet I never listened to the zoo.
Well,
that's the one I missed.
Now you can't.
I know.
You can't listen to it now.
I probably won't go back.
So, well, brother, thank you much, and I know that we'll talk with you soon.
Yep.